to this episode of the Soul Frequency Show. I'm Shauna Lee, modern day woman living a mystical life. Oh my goodness, it's time to announce gift number 4 for the Soul Frequency Your Healthy, Awakened, and Authentic Life launch, which is September 19th. So today we're talking about gift number 4. The last 3 episodes we've been talking about gift 1, 2, and 3, and today is the final gift. I'm so excited. So last week, we announced gift number 3, which was a powerful guided meditation called Raise Your Frequency, 30-minute morning meditation. This particular meditation takes you through 4 important stages to create a positive mindset for the day ahead. This is like the perfect daily ritual. It really helps you get into alignment with your highest self and start taking action throughout your day. The last of the 4 gifts, drum roll please. That was a sad drum roll, but you get the picture. Gift number 4 is an all access pass to all of the videos in module 1 of my signature program, The Frequency Cleanse. Oh, so exciting. This is where we'll dive into the nitty-gritty on food, the particulars about food and ingredients. We'll be talking about your energy system and how to cleanse both your body and your energy system safely. So when you grab the Soul Frequency book on September 19th, you're going to get the companion workbook so you can work through all of the inspired action sections, the Lighten Your Body recipe book with my favorite recipes and all my friends' recipes, Raise Your Frequency Morning Meditation, where you can jumpstart your morning each morning, and Module 1 of the Frequency Cleanse Program to get all the details so you can move forward powerfully. All of this awesomeness just for coming and hanging out with us and grabbing your copy of the Soul Frequency book. So this is fun. This is a big celebration. We're all celebrating behind the scenes here. So I hope you'll hang out with us and celebrate with us. This is a really, really fun time in my life and in the lives of our team. So thanks for being with us and supporting us and sending us emails and sharing your love. We really, really, really appreciate it. So today we're going to be talking about past life regression. Such a great topic. Whether you believe in this or not, doesn't really matter. Our guest today talks about that a lot. So listen to this interview. She has a powerful perspective. She says during the interview, when we come back, perhaps there were issues from something that happened in the Renaissance era, and we come back to reactivate these issues in order for them to be resolved and healed. We don't bring everything we've ever been through back into one life to be dealt with or healed because we'd be so overwhelmed and we would be non-functional. This week, I had licensed marriage and family therapist and certified regression therapist Anne Barham on the show. She has training in transpersonal psychology, hypnosis, therapeutic imagery, and trauma release modalities. Throughout her nearly 20-year career, she has evolved her practice to merge her interest in spirituality with her counseling work, now focusing almost exclusively on past life regression therapy, which she believes has the greatest healing impact for her clients in the shortest amount of time. She lives in California and does sessions in person and over Skype. On today's episode, Anne shares about what to expect with past life regression, how we incarnate to heal wounds from other lifetimes, and how physical, emotional, and mental states of being can heal almost instantaneously through past life regression. So with no further ado, the brilliant Anne Barham. Hey, Anne, welcome to the show.
Hi, Shauna. Thank you very much. Great to be here.
Wonderful. So, you know, we're going to be talking about past life regression, and this is, I have a love in my heart for this topic. And so after looking into your work, I'm really excited about your perspective on this because I think it's a really powerful perspective. And before we jump into that, though, I would love for you to share a little bit about your life path and journey. Like, how do you come to doing this work?
Oh, okay, great. I'll try not to get into too much detail, but I was raised in a very conventional Catholic home. And it just, even at a young age, that didn't quite work for me as far as just a belief system. So I started doing a lot of investigation when I was in my teens, as many of us do, where we really start questioning, what do I believe in? And I found at that age that as I was doing reading on more Eastern traditions, that the concept of reincarnation and having more than one lifetime on the planet just really resonated for me. But I actually didn't get into this line of work till quite some time later. I actually had a midlife career change. I mean, I was a computer programmer, I was a marketing person. And then around age 40, I ended up getting my license as a marriage and family therapist. So I did some conventional counseling work for a certain number of years, and then just felt inspired that there was something different, something more for me to be doing. And I wanted something that would move people more quickly through their issues and would also incorporate a spiritual dimension to the work. And shortly after that realization, the two most prominent figures in the world at that time who did past life regression work came to a retreat center a half hour from my house. And since my daughter was quite young at the time, this was perfect. They each did week-long professional trainings. And this was Dr. Brian Weiss, who maybe many people have heard of. He wrote the book, Many Lives, Many Masters. And then Dr. Roger Wolter, who is a British guy who's now deceased. But they were number one and number two. I got training from both of them and then gradually started incorporating this into my counseling work. And it grew to the point where that's really all I do. And I've been doing this work now for about 20 years. Had an amazing journey with it all and working with so many people on so many different types of issues, and have really seen dramatic change for them very, very quickly, often in one single session.
Wow, that's really powerful. For those that might be listening that don't know what past life regression is, can you just kind of take us through sure. like a definition, but maybe even like a little bit of a longer definition on it?
Sure. Okay, so well, based on the premise that we are spiritual beings and we have the opportunity to experience life in human form on the planet many, many times, so that, you know, we're like a soul entity that decides, I want to go down in a human body and have certain experiences and have the opportunity to learn and to master this physical plane. So we're taking that as a premise. And just as things in our early childhood in our current life that we may not remember have a dramatic impact on us as adults, and that often if we go into regular counseling, we have to dig back into our childhood to you know, kind of process these things. We're just taking the look back period with past life therapy into those prior lifetimes with the same understanding that perhaps traumas that we experienced or emotions that never were able to be expressed or dynamics with other people that were problematic and never got resolved, that those patterns and issues can be carried forward into our current life, causing us challenges and trouble that's difficult to resolve if we're not able to go back to the actual origin in the prior lifetime. So past life regression, to regress means to go back. So I'm just putting someone into a deeply relaxed state, allowing their unconscious memories to emerge. So this is all coming from the client, and it's their memories of a lifetime in the past that we then move through kind of step by step, what the key events in their life were, who the important people were and whether we recognize them as people that they know today, places perhaps where there was a big trauma or maybe a loss of a loved one or war or who knows, some sort of thing that came up that was not completely resolved or processed, and then having the opportunity to process that. So it releases the energy and actually helps the person in the current life move forward without carrying that unfinished business with them any longer. So that engenders really dramatic change because it's like getting to the origin of the issue and unlocking all of that. Is that a general idea?
That's an amazing answer. I love that. And thank you for going into that type of detail. And now I have like 100 questions to ask you. So from your perspective of obviously working for 20 years and so many different people, and, you know, when we have a line of work that we go into, obviously, you know, as time goes by and the more people you have been able to work with, the more you see into the process. I'm just curious, like, what is it that if we don't complete on something in a lifetime, let's say, mm-hmm. then just part of that is like a holdover that comes in then when we're born into another lifetime? And are we to be even more, are there specific things that are meant to come through in different lifetimes to then be healed or understood or solved? Or is it like kind of all things travel through all lifetimes that aren't healed?
Great question. And I think eventually all things come through. But it's more the former that you were describing, where when we come back in, that perhaps issues from, you know, something that happened in the Renaissance come back reactivated in order to be resolved and healed. It's like if we don't bring necessarily everything back in to be dealt with in one particular lifetime, or we'd be so overwhelmed. We'd be non-functional.
Yeah, true, right?
So I think, you know, if you can step up and look at this higher perspective from our soul level, sort of like we might have a variety of things that could be dealt with and worked on, but maybe the combination of the family that we enter in the part of the world and what's going on at that particular point in time kind of lines up best to deal with something like, you know, being in poverty and never having enough abundance. And then maybe this individual is born into a life where they have nothing but abundance and they're feeling guilty about that all the time. And they don't know where that guilt is coming from. And maybe so what this is about is getting the balance between having nothing and being in poverty, having abundance in excess, finding a balance, finding a way to help others and kind of heal that whole dynamic. And it's because of the circumstances in the current life that perhaps make that the issue that's going to be the one that most comes up.
Yeah, that's so interesting. And you mentioned too, different souls being in your life, like through multiple lifetimes. Is that something that you see, like we kind of return in multiple lifetimes to certain souls?
Yes, all the time. I think we tend to, those of us in the profession talk about there being a soul group, and that's sort of like a group of folk that we like to incarnate with. It doesn't mean that we're with all of them every single time, but these will be individuals that will have a tendency to want to be in relationship with multiple times across the centuries, and that for a couple different reasons. And one is perhaps this is just somebody that we're really, really connected with. We have similar kinds of missions and interests, and there's a deep love and connection. So we might, in one life, we might be parent and child. Another lifetime, we might be spouses. Another lifetime, we might be next door neighbors that get together for coffee all the time. And another lifetime, we might even end up being, having conflict because we've decided that there's a certain cutting edge of growth that we both want to work on. And maybe it's about dealing constructively with conflict. And so we agree to come in together and have this conflictual relationship in order to help each other learn and grow. So we see this all the time whenever I regress clients and key figures come up in their prior life. We pause to see if we can identify that person as anyone they know in their current life. And very often we will. We'll find family members, friends, lovers, or coworkers even show up. And there's usually a similar theme going on as far as the interaction.
That's it's really neat. It's really powerful. And I think that, can you talk a little bit about why we need to, I always say in my work, we've got to get to the root cause, where this comes from. And mm-hmm. What I think is so powerful about past life regression is, oftentimes in a lot of circles, there's root cause discussions, whether it's physical health with integrative medicine or, whether it's energy work. But if the root of that is in another lifetime, that's where I think sometimes people feel really challenged at getting to what's really going on here. And so what happens when, let's say the example that you gave of somebody who's having abundance and feeling guilty about it and not knowing why, what happens in people's lives when they can see where this is connected to from a past life? Is in acknowledging it, does it start to dissipate the guilt that someone's having in the current day?
Yeah, it's pretty fascinating. That's a great question because it does differ from individual to individual. So for some people, just getting that knowledge and seeing where it came from unlocks the whole thing, done. They're able to move on. For some people, it's a cathartic release that happens when they see that information. So for instance, if it was a huge loss or something like that of a loved one that was never grieved in the prior lifetime, and we go back in and we see what happened, and that person then is able to express and experience that grief and loss, then that releases the energy that's been stuck for so long. For some people, it's more some of the processing that I do with them toward the end of the session to perhaps make some communications that needed to be made between figures in the prior life, perhaps looking at the attitudes and beliefs that were built around that prior experience and how they don't apply to today. And we might even do some therapeutic imagery where we're taking those beliefs and packaging them up in a box and sending them away or burying them or blowing them up or a variety of other therapeutic techniques that we can use to really move that out. But what I have found is very, very often by being able to just go back and really identify what the source was and really be able to see that belonged to that prior personality, those different conditions at the time that all of that happened, is very curative. And just really allows people to let go of things that it might take them 10 or 12 years in regular therapy to resolve if they ever fully do. Not that I have anything against regular therapy. It definitely has its place in the scheme of things. But when it's an enduring issue that, I have clients come in saying, I've been working on, this depression for 12 years in therapy and it just doesn't seem to get better and I'm on medication and I feel really, really, really stuck. And we're able to go back to a prior lifetime and see a dramatic loss or perhaps a life where they were orphaned and never loved and were very sad and hopeless and died young. That's something that they've carried forward. We're able to release that, and all of a sudden they're like, oh my gosh, it's like the weight of the world has been lifted off my shoulders, and I had no idea that that's what was weighing me down.
Yeah, it's so neat, because I think, you know, in finding the answer, like, it's just that search when you know, either haven't been diagnosed or you've been diagnosed with something and you are struggling, or you're struggling with something in your life and you feel like everywhere you've turned, you can't get free from it. And so to have that recognition of like, oh my gosh, this is it. Like, this is why, you know, I have struggled with this. I think there's no bigger gift than that, to feel the freedom.
Yes, exactly. And we even see this, it's fascinating to me, I even see this sometimes with physical symptoms that people have, where the traditional MDs will say, well, there's no explanation for your pain and suffering. We don't find anything wrong with you. So I had one gal who had, this is a great example. She had been in an auto accident. She had chronic pain in her neck and swelling. And the doctors, you know, would look at it and say, there is no real reason that we can see that you're having this pain. And they did this procedure called radio frequency ablation, which actually killed the nerves that in the neck that were causing the pain. And they did that procedure twice, and she was still having the pain. And the doctors are throwing up their hands saying, you can't be feeling that. The nerves are dead, and we don't know what to do for you. So she got hold of me and said, you know, I want to see if this is something from a past life and whether we can release this. And so we went to a lifetime where it was really quite interesting. It was in Hollywood in the 50s, and she was married to an actor who was very handsome and not very faithful. And she was driving them in a car after a party on a windy, dark road in the Hollywood Hills. And he revealed that he was once again involved in an affair. And she lost control of the car and crashed into a tree and ended up being paralyzed from the neck down, and was hospitalized but never really recovered. And she died maybe a month or two after that. And what was fascinating was that this client got hold of me about an hour after the regression was done and said, I've got to tell you, I had my current husband look at my neck, which had been like swollen by a couple inches worth of swelling. She said, it's down about an inch and a half. It's unbelievable how much the swelling has gone down. And she said, my pain has reduced to about 20% of what it used to be. So it was this dramatic physical release that her body somehow had been reactivated by having the auto accident now. It kind of reactivated all that issue from the past, and the body was actually manifesting that issue so that it could be investigated and cleaned up and resolved. So that was a very dramatic physical story.
That's great. Thank you for sharing that. That really like brings into perspective, you know, what's possible. And I think I hadn't really thought of that, but I think it's interesting, the reactivation, that we can actually experience something in this life that would reactivate, you know what I mean? Something that might have not been completed from another life.
Yes. And that actually, that happens quite a bit. So what might reactivate it would be either we reach the age where, some traumatic event occurred in a prior lifetime and we reached that age in this life and all of a sudden we're having some sort of problem or issue that we had never had before. And it's like we came upon the anniversary of it and it's acting up again. Or there might be that we run into the person who was involved in an issue with us in a prior lifetime, and we meet them, re-encounter them in this life, and that reactivates things. Or it could be similar conditions or events like the auto accident or some other kind of thing. I had actually something reactivate for me when my daughter left for college. And I play a lot of tennis, and all of a sudden I was having some serious problems with my elbow and my shoulder. It took me a little while to think, oh, I should go check on the past life thing with this, of course, because we never think about it for ourselves, right?
Right.
I did, and actually it turned out it went back to a medieval lifetime where I was, you know, lord of a manor and had this daughter that I loved dearly, and my wife had died many years before, so it was kind of her and I, and she wanted to go off to study, you know, away, and being this proud man that I was, I couldn't express to her how much I really didn't want her to go. And instead, I went charging off on my horse with my hunting hawk in dusk without any of my usual attendants. And, you know, the horse ends up stumbling and I fall and I dislocate my shoulder and, you know, other stuff happens. So I survived all of that, but it had kind of reactivated that whole arm and shoulder thing with my daughter leaving and my feeling like, well, I can't really let her know how much I'm going to miss her because this is exactly what I raised her to do, which was to go off and do her life, right?
But, right.
Yeah, but just really interesting to see how, you know, even for me, you know, something as simple as my daughter leaving for college would reactivate an old physical thing from the past.
So great. So what's your take on, we hear the word karma all the time, and I'm just wondering how that plays out. Like, you know, people say, oh, if you do this, you'll have bad karma. And like this idea that it follows us forward. Do you see that when you regress people?
Yeah, actually I do. And I think it's, but it's not like, oh, you're going to be punished so much as, or that it's fated, because sometimes the interpretation of karma is, this is something that's fated to be because of your past or something like that, or that all of your misdeeds will be punished in the future. But it's a little more the way I see it along the lines of we will have the opportunity to have balance in our experience. So if we live a life of callousness and perhaps, you know, serious prejudice or something like that, we will probably have the opportunity in another lifetime to be the recipient of prejudice and callousness. And I have a great example of that. I had a young man, a young Black man, come to see me, and he had the most unusual question. I'd never had someone ask this before. But he said, I want to go back and see why I chose to be Black this lifetime. He said, it's been really tough, and I don't understand why I would do this to myself. And I thought, well, this is going to be an interesting one. So sure enough, we went to a lifetime in the South in the U.S. I'm forgetting the date, but it was probably, you know, 18 something. And he was a young, privileged white man. And he had taken a liking to a Black girl. And his family was aghast because he was thinking he'd actually like to marry her. And they were like, you know, no way, no how, you know, have her as an affair, have her, you know, keep her on the side, but you're certainly not going to marry this. And he ended up accosting her, raping her, getting her pregnant, and then not owning the child. So he'd see her and the child, but he would disavow that he was the father and he didn't help out. And so he would, you know, was being totally uncharitable, treating her like a piece of property, as subhuman, even though he, you know, thought he loved her at one point. And so this kind of brought that completion now of, well, now you get to experience what it's like to be Black and be treated differently and not be afforded the same respect and privileges that the dominant culture has. So it made a huge lot of sense to him. And it was kind of an eye-opener, you know, because he could never have imagined himself as playing that role.
Yeah, I think there's something powerful. I mean, we've all had lifetimes where we weren't the nicest of people and, mm-hmm. you know, many different, you know, lifetimes. And it's kind of humbling, I think, when you have that experience of like, you know, all the different lives and hats you've worn and things like that. I think it helps to just kind of be very open.
Yeah, I call the whole thing the great equalizer because...
Yes.
Yes. You realize you've been on either side of just about every fence. And that even if like you're a staunch Republican in this lifetime, guaranteed there was a lifetime where you were just as adamantly Democratic or, you know, whatever belief system you hold, whatever religion that you believe in, that you've been the opposite somewhere along the line. And as much as someone may have mistreated you in this life, you've mistreated others in the past and vice versa, you know, that you've been absolutely wonderful and very altruistic as well. So it kind of puts us all in each other's shoes the more that we connect with the different lifetimes that we've had. So I think it's so good for understanding diversity and creating tolerance and realizing that, you know, we all believe in what we believe very adamantly, and we think we're right with our point of view in whatever point of view we're in right now. And we believe that just as strongly in a prior lifetime when we had the opposite point of view.
It's so true. But what would you say to, I know there are people that don't believe in past lives or, you know, speak to that, or what's your, is it something like, cause I've had people ask me before, I've done past life regression before, and I've mm-hmm. had people ask, how do you know it's real? Right? Like, how do you, you know, the right. pragmatic exactly. mind, how do you know you're really seeing these things and you're not just imagining them or someone's just suggesting them to you? And I don't believe that there were ever, you know, other lifetimes and you know, that kind of conversation. What would you say to that?
Oh, I have so many points along those lines. The first is I'm not attached to whether someone else believes in reincarnation or not, because we each get to choose what our belief systems are each time around. It can be very helpful if you consider that possibility. And that's really all you need to do in order to do past life work. I've had many clients come in who have been quite skeptical. And particularly, I've done quite a few sessions with, like, you know, journalists in New York and that type of thing who pride themselves in being skeptics, you know, and they're kind of like, yeah, okay, we'll do this session and we'll just see. And they'll be knocked off their feet by how powerful it is and the information that they retrieve. So you just have to be open enough and be able to relax enough to just... go with whatever comes up and just suspend your disbelief for a short period of time. And whether or not it's truly a past life story is not that important to me as a therapist, because what I have found is even if these stories are just imaginary, they end up being incredibly rich metaphors for whatever issues are going on in a person's life in the present, and they appear to be extremely curative. So they engender tremendous change, even if it's just a metaphor. They're very powerful. So it's like our dreams, or it's like therapeutic imagery that we use, perhaps like someone who has cancer and we're using imagery that there's little hungry blue stain eaters in their blood. That's the chemotherapy that's eating all the cancer cells or whatever. And that's actually been proven to be effective, even if that's all your imagination. So what I say to, great, if it's your imagination, then we don't know where imagination comes from anyway, and very possibly it's coming from past life experiences. But even if it isn't, it can be a very powerful therapeutic tool. And I mean, we haven't even talked much about this yet, but it's also opens up a whole world of spiritual exploration to people that can be very, very powerful when they plug into the concept of, you know, there's way more to me than just this human life. And that I've had many, many experiences, and I have this ongoing soul entity that transcends life and death, and I stay connected with the people I love across all these lifetimes, and death just being an illusion. We're changing state, changing whatever plane we're operating on, but we're still there, because I will take clients through their death in the prior lifetime, and then we have the whole experience of their awareness going onward beyond that and plugging into all sorts of spiritual realms and spiritual knowledge and things like that. So that's a whole other arena that we get into with this work.
So it's so incredible, and it's so important. I always like the words "know thyself" come up, and there's just so many facets to who we are. It's like, you know, and I think once you open the door to that, you know, to kind of looking into your spirit and kind of looking at all the different ways you can know thyself and seeing the vastness that any one, you know, soul is, or one, you know, person's like consciousness, it's just miraculous and exciting and incredible. And it makes for such a fun journey into understanding all these different ways we can understand ourselves better.
Right. And we're so much bigger than we can possibly imagine.
Yeah, it's so true. I wanted to also ask you about what you think, you know, a lot of the stuff I talk about on the show and would probably lean towards, you know, Eastern thought or Eastern, you know, religions or things like that, or, you know, people might call it deep spirituality or consciousness or forever, but terms like that. But I'm really passionate about making this very practical for real life. And I know you are as well. Yes. And so, you know, just to kind of demystify, like, because I think some people's kind of turn their brains off sometimes when something goes a little bit outside of their box that, you know, they kind of are comfortable in. So what are the types of things, like, in a very, like some of the stories that you've already shared, in very practical ways that where this would be helpful, like everyday things that we experience that might be bothersome to us or difficult that we're going through?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You know, one of the key areas that people consult me about has to do with relationships, patterns in relationships that are problematic, relationships with particular individuals that are difficult and conflictual. So, you know, could be between spouses, or it could be, you know, a gal comes in and she says, I just can't seem to find a long-term relationship. I always think the guy is going to leave me. This is a pattern that I have. It could be a problem between parent and child. And that happens a lot, where people want to know, you know, I have this really conflictual relationship with my mother or with my in-laws or with this person, and I want to see if I can find out where that came from and what this dynamic's about. And also even relationships with people who have passed. So if someone's in deep grief over the passing of a loved one, connecting with how you were together with them in a prior lifetime can be one of the most consoling and rewarding things to see. So the whole relationship arena is huge, because indeed that's what we're about as humans anyway. But also there, I mean, so there's the physical issues, which I've mentioned, where very often if there's some sort of chronic physical problem that the doctors are having trouble with, it might be linked to a past life situation. I have a lot of people that come in because they want to look into their life purpose. They're like, I've been kind of knocking around. I've even had people in their 70s and 80s come to me and say, I still don't know what my life purpose is. And we're able to use the past life work to help eliminate that, to go to a lifetime that speaks to kind of life purpose that's kind of arching across lifetimes and help them understand that better. Even people that have financial difficulties sometimes. I've had, a number of people want to find out, like, why I can, no matter how hard I work, why do I never seem to be able to earn enough money, or why can I not hang on to my money when I make it, or, things along those lines. And we'll very often go to lifetimes where someone was either a beggar or like a slave or was never compensated for their work. I've had writers and painters and creative folk who've had sort of a block in their creativity, or who don't really believe in their abilities as much as they want to. We've come and plugged into a prior personality that was quite adept in that area artistically. And we've actually even gotten mentoring from the prior personality of what the current person needs to do to be more successful or to believe in themselves more, which is really quite fun when you realize you have a mentor in your back pocket like that. It's like, here's what you need to do to be able to get going with your writing. You need to set aside a certain time of day. You have to put a flower on your desk. You need this kind of music, this kind of paper. I mean, just very detailed instructions to help the person move forward. Let's see what, I mean, there's so many, many different things. So it's really any kind of situation which doesn't logically make sense to you, that you're either stuck in a pattern or blocked, or you realize you have a belief system that really isn't serving you. Or if you really want to explore and just learn more about yourself and about spiritual realities, I mean, the menu of what we can do with this is so broad, which is why it makes it such fascinating and fun work for me. Because I never know what a client's going to come in with and where we're going to go with it.
I love that. Thank you. Yeah, there's like no area it doesn't touch, for sure. And I want to have you share just a little bit. You have a book called The Past Life Perspective. Yes. You talking about like case studies in there? What can we expect from the book?
Yeah, the book is mainly short case studies. They're easy to read. But my idea was, well, number one, I've been doing this for 20 years, and I have files and files and files of all these fascinating stories. And I thought, what a shame if I can't share this with people at large, because they're, number one, so interesting. And number two, there's a lot of spiritual lessons and life lessons from these stories that really apply to most all of us. So they're very, very helpful. And they're entertaining as all get out. So I wanted to be able to share those stories and share the lessons. And then at the same time, the book also was an attempt to really bring this technology, in a sense, kind of more to the everyday person. So to kind of take the woo-woo factor out of it, so that more people could really understand, this is a very practical, down-to-earth technique that can be used to really help me move past some of the things that have been troubling me and that I've been working on and just don't seem to get resolved. And then I also, in the book, at the end of each chapter, I have little do-it-yourself type of exercises that can help you plug into a greater awareness of your own prior lifetimes and what indications you might have in your life that you can look at that would would help that. And then also just various exercises for kind of a little more deepening and some spiritual exploration in your life.
This is wonderful. I definitely am diving into this topic, I think is super important. So the book is like a great place to start. But there might be some people listening, I have a feeling, that are like, I want to do one of these. So can you share where to find out more about doing individual sessions and more about your work?
So I have a website. It's pastlives.org. So that's plural. One word, pastlives.org. And there's information there about my work and a contact form you can fill out if you want to see about a session. There's also information on my book. And there's also a little guided recording that people can get that if they just want to try to explore a little bit on their own. It's not as effective as a one-on-one interactive session because it's just you're listening to things and I'm providing time in between for you to do the processing, but it's very similar to what a group regression would be if you attended a seminar or workshop about it where you're not really individually interacting, but you're being guided through a process. So that's available on, for people too. So that's pastlives.org. And then the book, The Past Life Perspective, is available in most, you know, book outlets, but also there are links on my website to different retailers there as well.
Wonderful. That's exciting. You guys go out there and grab those resources. I think one of the things, as you've been talking, I'm thinking is my deepest passion and reason why I started the show is just to have these open conversations. And I know along my path, like finding, you know, the funniest things find you at the right time when you're just ready, you know, to open up to them and look at them. And, you know, I just think knowing thyself is like just the ultimate grand adventure of being in this, you know, human form. And so I love this. And past life regression has been important in my life. So anybody that's listening, I am vouching for this because it's just a powerful experience. And thank you for sharing all of that. And we're going to jump into the final four questions that I ask all my guests. It's based on my proprietary process called the Anatomy of Transformation. And the first step in the process, there are four, is truth. And I believe that when we get to some of our deepest truths or we discover new truths that really resonate with us, that the door kind of opens up to the next level or to healing or to understanding ourselves in a new way. So what is a deep truth that you've come across in your journey that just really kind of took you to the next level?
Well, that's an interesting question. I would say that I know what I know and that I can trust what I know, even if that goes counter to what current thinking is or what mainstream society says, but that I really, really can trust what I know on a gut level.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. And the second goes right on the tail end. I can't wait to hear this answer. The second pillar is called release. And when you have that powerful connection, because I think anybody that is, you know, a healer or comes into this life to kind of link up with that goes through a process of feeling like, can I trust what I know? You know, even if it's different than what other people think is real. And the second pillar is release. And so there's always something on the tail end of a deep inner truth realization that has to be released. And whether that's, you know, mindsets, state of being, emotions, even sometimes people or, you know, things that need to kind of be released from our life once we've locked into that truth.
So your question is, what did I have to release in order to embrace that truth?
Exactly.
All right. Probably the need to be accepted and approved of by others.
So good. It's so good. And I think there's nobody that doesn't have that as like a powerful part of their journey if they take it on. So Thank you for sharing that. I think I get a lot of emails about a lot of people that really resonate with that and are frankly at this time being called up to release that within themselves. So that's amazing.
It's very powerful conditioning that we get as children to
conform
and, you know, be a good girl or be a good boy and do what's expected of you and gain approval.
Absolutely.
So, to let go of that and realize that the only person that really needs to approve of me is myself. And that if I accept myself, it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. It's a big shift.
I love that. The third pillar is called experience. And what happens when we release things that are as big as that is our experience of life changes, like literally the way we move through life, what we accept into our life. What were the shifts you started to see once you started to release that?
That's really interesting. I think the way I would illustrate that for myself would be when I came to that point, you know, and part of it was the decision to write the book and go much more public with what I did, because I very much kind of kept it in the background. I didn't promote it a lot. It just was on my website. So if people were interested, they'd find it. But I wasn't going to put myself out there publicly. Then I wrote the book, and then it was like I was doing radio and TV and quite a few things around the book because there was so much interest. And initially I thought, oh my gosh, that's not who I am. I don't do that kind of stuff. And then I thought, well, why not? You know, let's give it a shot here. And I discovered that I really, really enjoyed it and that I actually was quite good at it. And I had people who were, you know, like TV types who were doing a little show with me, and they'd look at me and go, you're just a natural doing this in front of the camera, aren't you? And I'm like, I don't know. It doesn't bother me at all. It's fine. I enjoy it. You know, I'm just like talking about what I do. So I think it was just, it just really opened up the ability to just be myself. And it didn't matter if it was a big public arena or private arena or what. It's just like, well, you know, this is who I am, and take it or leave it, but I'm going to have fun while I'm doing it.
Oh, I love that. That's fantastic. What a great story. And isn't that funny how sometimes, like, our greatest gifts, we haven't even like figured those out yet, because it takes us like stepping outside the box a little bit or releasing things to actually link up with that and discover it.
Yeah. Cause I never would have predicted that, that I would have fun, you know, being on a show like The Doctors or some silly thing like that, but I did. So.
Oh, I love that. The fourth pillar is called align. And that is kind of what happens is we're literally changing our frequency as we go through this process. And once we get to experience, we kind of get to know ourselves in a new way. And we kind of see that, like you did, you know, there are things that we may not have even known about ourselves or known that we were going to like that we start enjoying. It's almost like, I call it a get to know yourself again process, the new you. And so the fourth pillar align is really about, you know, what keeps us in that higher frequency state of being, like what keeps, you know, us. So whether it's rituals or practices or people or sitting in circle or just ways that we live our life that keep us feeling good and keep us feeling in alignment with our purpose. Hmm. What was that for you?
Yeah, I have quite a few daily rituals. So I actually give myself about 2 hours each morning where I journal and I meditate and I draw tarot cards and I, you know, maybe I dance around the room if I'm in that mood. And it's just time for myself to kind of get in touch with wherever I'm at on any given day and to just allow spirit to kind of flow through and speak to me if it wants. So that's really, really important. And then the other thing that I do that's critical is I do a lot of exercise. I play a lot of tennis because I need to stay in my body. And it's too easy for me with the work that I do to kind of get out there. And so I need to stay grounded. So doing a lot of physical kinds of things really helps keep me grounded because I do want to have this human experience, right?
Yes.
Floating out in the ethers. And I think the other thing is that I do try also to keep my eye on what is my cutting edge now, because it keeps changing. And who I am keeps changing and evolving. So to know that it's not a static state, it's dynamic, and there's always something new or some new edge to work with or place to push myself a little bit. So just trying to keep an eye on that.
I love both of those. They're so important. I am exactly in alignment with you on needing to stay in my physical body, mm-hmm. and using, you know what I mean, grounding techniques and exercise and things like that to stay in that experience. So that resonates a lot with me personally, I'm sure with many people that are listening. And sometimes hearing that is an interesting concept too, because people could be having that experience, but they haven't quite put words to it. Mm-hmm. And I think that happens for people a lot. And so thank you for sharing your, you know, personal life and your personal journey with us. It's so important. I think it makes all of us feel like we are human and connected, and we're all going through, you know, making the walk and going through this experience together. And so I'm just really, really grateful for this time. And I'm grateful for all that you shared. I think I already feel that it's going to touch the lives of other people and help them with the know thyself question. And so it's just been an amazing interview. And I thank you.
Thank you so much, Sean. I really enjoyed it. And I appreciate your process. Your four pillars are very right on.
Thank you. Let's talk about taking some serious action. If you're new to the Take Action section, we take a new action each week to move closer to our intentions. Our Take Action item this week is to reach out to Anne if you feel called to do it. Listen to your intuition always. If something is speaking to you, just say yes. I will be back next week with more positive vibes and powerful awakenings. Sending you love and wishing you a great week ahead.